All right, before you grab a seat, why don't you greet someone with a holy handshake? All right, you can open your Bibles to John chapter 12. We're going to worship some more and obviously take communion together. But before we do that, Jesus told us to remember him. And I'd just like to give you something little just to set your heart and mind on for the night. There's a whole lot of things that we could remember and think about. The Bible says that in the ages to come, we're going to keep seeing the kindness and love and grace of God in Christ Jesus. So there's plenty to do and to think about. But in John chapter 12, I just want to begin reading in verse 27. Jesus, on his way to the cross, knowing his time was short, says this, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came to this hour." Here is Jesus Christ in a crowd. People want to see him. Someone came to Philip, trying to come see Jesus. And this discussion kind of begins. And Jesus makes this pretty unique statement. "Now is my soul troubled." That is not something Jesus said very much in his life. Certainly, the disciples had been with Jesus, and his demeanor was calm. I think many of us can think of scenarios in life where somebody who is never troubled is troubled, and now you're like, oh man, this is a bad scene. If they're upset, if they're nervous, then this is a bad scenario. But the disciples were troubled in the storm and Jesus was asleep. The disciples, no doubt, were troubled when the demoniacs were coming. Jesus was not troubled. They were troubled that the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. Thomas at one point saying, okay, let's just go and die with him. Jesus was not troubled. And here now Jesus says he's troubled. So how dark and heavy is the burden that troubles the soul of Jesus Christ? That would make him express that would make him later ask for them to be praying with him, that would make him literally a fit recipient of supernatural angelic intervention to help him, that would make him sweat great drops of blood on a cold night. The burden was heavy, and here he is, the perfect Son of God, in the will of God, voluntarily stepping into what he calls a dark hour. "Who, Father," he says, "should I pray? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." He would later pray in the garden, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." He's saying, I'm not going to express my will to be delivered from this directly. "Father, if it's your will," despite the solemn heaviness of the task in front of him, Jesus says, "What shall I say? Save me from this hour?" No, "for this purpose, I came to this hour." Well, what should I say? Deliver me from the reason that I'm here? From why I'm here at this moment? Jesus did not ask the Father to save him from the darkest hour in human history. Not just a dark hour, the darkest hour. He came to take our place, to die for us, to have his soul, the Bible says, become an offering for sin. He came to carry, to bear our transgressions, our iniquities. He knew the burden. He accepted the cup that the Father was putting in his hand. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. All this willingly, all this knowingly. Father, what should I say? Save me from this hour? He knew what he was doing. He was not saved so that you and I can be saved. He was not delivered so that you and I can be delivered. He was not spared so that you and I can be spared. He endured this hour of darkness so that you and I could enjoy eternal life with him forever. He said his soul was troubled. It was a troubling thing. His body ended up being broken. His blood ended up being shed. And Jesus doesn't embellish. There's some people who are troubled by things they should not be troubled by. Jesus was never that person. So when he's saying his soul is troubled, there was something troubling. I think this saying is good for us to hear for two reasons. First, because maybe we wouldn't think of it, but Jesus Christ was given for you and for me so that we can pray for deliverance. He said, or refused to say, Father, save me from this hour, so that we could look to him and say, be my Savior. So that we could be saved from the ultimate hour, but also so that we can turn to him at any hour. He becomes now our faithful high priest. Jesus didn't pray, Father, save me from this hour, so that we could pray, fittingly pray, Father, save me from this hour. Romans chapter 8, verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if I can ask for salvation eternally, then any temporal salvation is much lesser than that. Because Jesus refused to pray this, you and I should know that we can willingly come to him who was broken and had his blood shed for us and ask him for deliverance from any hour. We don't have to be afraid to do that. It is not more spiritual to go through something difficult if there is mercy there for us. We should ask God for all the mercy that's in his will for us. And because Jesus was not delivered, you and I can be delivered. And we can turn and we can say, Father, save me from this hour. You saved me from the ultimate hour. Every other hour is a lesser hour. And you refuse the ultimate hour, and I could come to you for anything else. And he is gracious to do that. The second thing that it does for us, and the reason it's important for us to see this, is because we do know there will be times when God will not deliver us when we pray that prayer. We can pray it, but we're not going to be delivered from every hour. We are all going to have an hour when God does not answer our prayers for deliverance. We're all going to have a time when he doesn't step in the way we imagined he would, or he doesn't step in at the time we thought he should. He doesn't step in and do what we think he should do. Those times are hard, and they're confusing, and they're humbling, and they're hurtful. And there are many reasons that God allows these, we'll call them dark nights of the soul. I'm not going to get into all the reasons. I just want to look and point out something very practical. What do we do when we're not delivered? What do we pray when we pray, Father, save me from this hour, but we're not saved from the hour? What does our older brother here teach us? What does our master and teacher show us? What does our ultimate example teach us? Well, he teaches us what to pray. Notice verse 28. Father, glorify your name. There's two prayers we can pray in any situation that Jesus made possible. The first is we can say, Father, save me from this hour, because Jesus gave himself for us. From any hour we're in, it is lesser than what he's already done. He has made it available, mercy and grace and salvation ultimately. But we still go through our things, And when we come to difficult circumstances in the will of God, circumstances that trouble our very soul, circumstances we cannot escape, circumstances that our Father, for his reasons that he knows, we need. Those reasons have an end. And the end is that he would glorify his name in our lives. So when we don't know what to pray, remembering his broken body and his blood shed also reminds us that we too will have solemn hours, moments, when our very purpose in life is to magnify the name of God through our circumstances. And at those critical junctures, he enlightens our path of trust with this prayer. Should I say, Father, then save me from this hour? No, before this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Here's what I pray. I don't just pray, Father, fire everyone at my work. Get rid of them all. Clean house. Maybe I pray, Father, glorify your name. The reality in most of our lives, many times, the first prayer, God is going to answer. When we say, Father, save me from this hour, Peter learned he could pray that real quick. He was drowning. Lord, save me. Get saved. He's going to do that plenty of times. He's going to do it times when we don't even ask. He's going to do it because of how gracious he is, because he was willing to take that ultimate price for us. But there are still the times where we have to come when the glory of God and his name is bound up with our troubles. And instead of saving us from those things, he saves us through those things. And in those scenarios, our Savior has given us the second prayer we're supposed to pray. Father, glorify your name. We bend our knees, we bow our head, we humble our hearts, and we say, then, Father, glorify your name. You know my soul's trouble. You know this hour is a dark hour. I've asked for deliverance. But if this is somehow some scenario where you need to be lifted up, then, Father, glorify your name. And I think as we take the elements tonight, these are two things that we can remember because of Jesus Christ. Our prayers for salvation are only ever answered, not just totally, not just our eternal salvation. Yes, our eternal salvation, but any salvation we come to in life. Anytime we say, Father, save me from this hour. Those prayers can be answered. Jesus opens that door for us because he refused to go through it himself. Every deliverance I have is because he refused to be delivered, because he would not pray that prayer for himself. I can pray that prayer for myself freely in life. Secondly, our prayers that are not answered have a purpose. Jesus shows us that. God wants to glorify his name in our lives. And even so, we will never be asked by God the Father to do what God the Son did. We're never going to be led by the Holy Spirit to glorify his name in the way he did. And the Father would answer Jesus right after this, supernaturally, out loud, that he had glorified it and he would continue to glorify his name in Christ. The crowd even heard it. It's our Father's joy to give us all the deliverance there is in the divine will. But even though he gives every yes, he is also still worthy of every no. So when he says no, then we need to look and say, all right, Lord, here's your example then. Father, glorify your name. I remember your broken body. I remember your shed blood. You're worthy of whatever you call me to in following you. He is good. He proved he is willing to deliver us ultimately. And he is willing to deliver us from so much less. And as we remember him, we should give him thanks for that. He's worthy of the praise of it. But again, there's probably some here in this room tonight where that is not your scenario. Or maybe at least one day, you're going to need the practical application of this. the two prayers we pray. We should always pray the one first. It is not less spiritual to say, Lord, save me. That is his delight. He refused that salvation himself so that he could offer it to us, and he still gladly offers it, ultimately and temporally. But when there are those times temporally where he says no, then our second prayer, he teaches us, and he gave us that example, and he says then, should I pray to be delivered from this hour? For this purpose I came to this hour. Instead, Father, glorify your name. Amen. We're going to have the worship team come back. What we want to do is just set our mind on him for a while. We're going to worship him. We're going to praise him. And then I'll lead us in some prayer in a bit. But let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we again thank you. We know we do not comprehend the extent of your goodness toward us. Even so, Lord, we know you're worthy of all the love we can give, all the praise we can give. And I pray you continue to expand our hearts to love you more. Let us, Lord, know you and see you and comprehend you in a way that we can better praise you in a manner that's fitting of who you are. And I pray, Lord, that you would be so gracious tonight as we remember you and what you did for us to offer those who need your salvation tonight, your delivering work, and to offer, Lord, those who need your grace and mercy tonight to glorify your name, all the strength they need in their inner man through your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we know these blessings and 1,000 others, Lord, I can't name. Just take this one and hold it up, that they're from you. So we recognize you and we praise you.
till my lips shall repeat my life, but through Christ in me.
Let's sing Wonderful, Merciful Savior.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, the precious Redeemer and Friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Counselor, Comforter, Keeper.
Counselor, Comforter,
going to keep worshiping, but as we do, we like to remember, the scriptures encourage us as we come to communion, that we're also one body, that the Savior who died for each of us also died for the rest of us, and we want to recognize that connection. So we'd like to do that just by praying for one another. So what I'd like to do as we play the next couple songs, I'd just like to invite the pastors, if you'd come stand down front here. And as they do that, any of you as we're worshiping during the next couple songs that just want prayer and you want to come down here and pray with one of the pastors, I'd encourage you to do that. If you want to pray about the things we talked about, maybe you are in one of those scenarios where you just need to say, Lord, save me from this thing. And you want to come and ask, remembering his body broken and his blood shed. That's why we feel free to ask. You already went so far, Lord. Why would you not be gracious for something lesser? Maybe you just need strength to live and pray, Lord, glorify your name in my life, in your scenario. Or maybe it's something totally else. We just want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you just know you need to repent before I take this body and this blood. I mean, I just want to repent. I don't want to enjoy sin that he had to die for. If you just want prayer during the next few songs, these guys are going to be down here. Feel free to stop on down, pray, unburden your heart and conscience, and then worship the Lord before we will take it communion together later.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford.
shall not live.
And men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word.
Man shall not live. I confess, bowing. keep my eyes.
Please keep my eyes fixed on you. Please rule my heart so deep in you. Keep me abiding, keep me abiding, keep me abiding, that I might bear fruit.
I hear the Savior say,
thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Let's sing that again.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Jesus.
Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He was white as snow.
Lord, now,
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt his heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow.
Nothing good.
I'm just going to ask now, as we sing another song or two, if you could just remain seated, grab your seats, and the ushers are going to come and pass out the elements. And as they're doing that, I encourage you, please just hold on to it. And then once everyone has received, then we'll take it together.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing can force sin atone.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yeah.
Savior. We're gonna take it up. And guilty violent, helpless me, spotless Lamb of God was he, full atonement, can it be? Alleluia, what a Savior. Lift it up.
Gonna take the bread first here in a moment, but I think it's just, again, good. He wants us to remember him, to not forget what he did. And he gave us this thing to hold, to taste, to think on him by. I think many of us, if you're especially a parent and you or you have a loved one that's been through difficulty, you've been in the experience where you've looked at someone, a child that's sick or suffering, and thought, I wish it was me, or I wish I could take that for them. I wish I could step into their place. And that is a wonderful feeling, but we don't have the opportunity, and we can't actually put it to the test. There was one who could, and he did. There was one who could and who said, I'm not going to say, save me from this hour. That's the reason I came. And he proved it. And he did it for us. So let's pray and then we'll take the bread. Lord Jesus, we remember you. You came. And you said your father wasn't looking for sacrifice and offerings, but a body had been prepared for you. A body that you allowed to be broken. A body that you freely and willingly gave. A sacrifice and an offering for sin. And Lord, we thank you what you did for us. We thank you that you lived a perfect life. We thank you that you took on human flesh. We thank you that you offered yourself and you allowed yourself to face the death of the cross. We thank you that you rose again. And we thank you that you're coming again. So, Lord, we hold this bread and we take it in remembrance of you in thanksgiving. Let's take the bread. Now, Lord Jesus, this cup of the new covenant in your blood shed for us, purchasing the church, saving us, washing us, cleansing us, redeeming us, cleansing us from all sin. Lord, again, we know that in the ages to come, we're going to be learning just what it means that your blood was shed for us. But with what we know, Lord, what we know scripturally, what we know personally and experientially, with what you've told us and what we believe, Lord, we thank you for your blood shed for us. We thank you for that part that we could never see, you being the propitiation for our sins, you taking your Father's cup and drinking it to the full, so that we could be here and take this cup and give you thanks and have such great hope and remember you. So, Lord, we take this cup in thanks, and we look forward to the day when we see you face to face and you return in glory. Let's take the cup. Isaiah 53 says in verse 11 that he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. That in it all, God is well pleased in the work of his Son. And that is why it is proper, when we remember him, to give thanks and to praise him. So let's stand. Let's end with two songs. And let's just give him the thanks that he is worthy of. But I would just say, I don't know if anybody's out here tonight and you have been thinking about this. I imagine if you're here, you're probably not here, just wandering in. If you did, well, welcome. But you're probably here having thought about these things for a while. And I would just like to say, if you have not personally surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you know that you need to put your trust in him, to surrender to him as your personal Lord and Savior, not just somebody who died for the world, somebody who died for you and your sins, and you need to do that tonight, then believe. Believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. Believe it in your heart and then come down here after the service. Talk to one of us. Confess with your mouth that that's what you've done in obedience to the Lord. And be saved. He loves you. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for you. And he's coming again. So give yourself to him. If he's been working on your heart, make that choice tonight. Don't refuse him again and walk away. You never know what you have in terms of time. Today is the acceptable day of salvation, not tomorrow or some other day down the line. Today. But for the rest of us, let's praise him.
Your blood that stained the ground is where my I Thank you for your kindness.